Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Today, we are like hours away from the Congress supporting this Iranian deal against Israel, really even against America, our leadership, and it's crazy. But Senator Lankford is standing up and making an appeal in the Senate, and such a logical explanation of why we do not need to support this Iranian deal that enables them to potentially have nuclear capabilities rapidly while they're proclaiming they want to destroy Israel and America. Let's listen right now to Senator Lankford.
Mr. President, I do have a concern as well. Typically, we reward people for a change of behavior. That's a good behavior. Go from bad to good. Not static old bad behavior. The concern that I have deals with Iran. We've seen no change in behavior. The same battles are happening in Yemen that they're leading this coup. Same issues are happening in Syria where Russia and Iran are working together to prop up Bashar Assad. They're still causing all sorts of trouble in Bahrain. The same behavior is happening in Lebanon with Hezbollah. There's been no change in behavior. Yet the administration is determined to make an aggressive nuclear deal to change the status quo on our sanctions on Iran, based on the hope of some future new good behavior when we've seen no present change in the behavior in Iran. This doesn't line up with some of the statements from our own administration. For instance, November 2013, Secretary Kerry said, there is no right to enrich. We do not recognize a right to enrich. December 2013, President Obama said, we know fully that they don't need to have an underground fortified facility like Fordo in order to have a peaceful nuclear program. Same time, December 2013, President Obama said they don't need the advanced centrifuges they currently possess in order to have a limited, peaceful nuclear program. But under this deal, not only are we giving them a right to enrich, not only allowing them to have fortified underground bunkers, we're also allowing them to have these advanced centrifuges. The president said there's absolutely no reason to have them unless they're not using them for peaceful purposes. I've heard over and over again for the last several days in this chamber, Mr. President, the conversation, if someone has a better deal, you should propose it, but this is the best deal that's been proposed. Well, let me just throw a few ideas out there as a better deal. It's a proposal. First of all, how don't we do this as a proposal? Why don't we actually have the opportunity to read the agreement? We'd like to be able to see it. No one in this chamber has seen all aspects of this agreement. No one in the House has seen all aspects of the agreement. It's not that we won't read it. We can't read it because the administration, even they have said they have not read the entire agreement. Now, I would tell you, we don't allow secret side deals between a bank and a car dealer when you're buying a used car. We certainly don't allow secret side deals between the UN and Iran that no one can see. And I'm astounded that this body is okay with signing off an agreement that absolutely no one has read the entire agreement. In fact, the administration has said they haven't even seen it. The White House wants to have it both ways. They don't want to turn over the documents, which the statute requires, but they also want to keep the part of the law that says Congress only has 60 days to review it. They want to say by the end of this week it's done. But no, we're not ever going to turn the documents over the statute requires. How about this for a different idea of what we can do for an agreement? They don't keep the advanced centrifuges. Since even the president said there's no peaceful purpose for those centrifuges, if we're going to have a good, solid agreement, they do not keep the advanced centrifuges. Not only do they keep them in cascade, they keep them running, they keep them spinning. There's no change in behavior on those centrifuges other than the promise that they won't put uranium in them. How about this for an idea if we're going to have a better agreement? We have on-site inspections that would actually allow Americans on the inspection team. How about this for a better agreement? We don't lift the ban on missile testing and research on Iran, which allows Iran to start missile testing and R&D again on ballistic missiles. We don't lift the ban on conventional weapon sales to Iran, which will allow Iran to start buying large supplies of conventional weapons and surface-to-air defense systems. How about this for a change in agreement, as a better agreement? Iran turns over their previous military dimensions of their nuclear program. They have stated over and over again they do not have a nuclear weapons program or ambitions. What would be the problem then in inspecting their research facilities and their technology if nothing existed? How about this for a better agreement? We don't agree to defend Iran in case in some future time they're attacked in their nuclear facilities by Israel. I think that's absolutely absurd to have in this agreement. How about this? We at least allow Iran the opportunity to publicly acknowledge that Israel has the right to exist, which they currently don't acknowledge that Israel even has the right to exist. Or we get our American hostages back. Since we're lifting the sanctions on the individuals who personally killed hundreds of American soldiers, those sanctions are lifted. Why can't we have our American hostages back? Or here's one simple idea. Why don't we have the same nuclear agreement with Iran that we had with Libya? You see, when we negotiated the agreement with Libya years ago, their program actually ended. They actually turned their centrifuges over. They turned their nuclear material over. They allowed anytime inspections. While this administration continues to say over and over again, what you're asking for is not possible, was actually done by the last administration in Libya. This is not asking for something new or radical or different. This is asking for something enforceable and clear. Why can't we have the same nuclear agreement with Iran that we made with Libya and actually stop Iran from advancing towards a nuclear weapon? Mr. President, I'm convinced we can do better. We must, for the security of the nation as a whole. And with that, I yield back.
What a powerful, powerful truth. He just broke it down, told it like it was. And he is representing Oklahoma. He's representing America when he's standing up and saying, listen, we even use car dealers. Car dealers have to have, you know, more transparency in what's going on. You know, what's happening here? It takes me back to when at the Democratic National Convention, when they had the Russian military, Russian Navy behind them on the screen, and the mayor of Los Angeles was heading up the convention, and they said they took Jerusalem in their platform and saying, we don't want it to be recognized anymore as the capital of Israel. This has been an unfolding plan that they've had all along. As a matter of fact, I want us to go back and take a look and watch the mayor of L.A., run the Democratic National Convention, and the people say, no, you can't do that. Actually, there's more people in the Democratic National Convention that's against God's plan in regards to having Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. But guess what? The Supreme Court made a ruling, reports are, that anybody that's born in Jerusalem can no longer say they were born in Jerusalem. They can only say they were born in Israel. They have to change all their identification. But this has been a plan since day one, since America voted for this leadership. Take a look. Let's look back right now at the Democratic National Conventions. Think about Israel today. Think about Iran is being given written permission from our leadership to come in, like the senator said, and begin to build these ballistic missiles. In the future, have the capabilities for nuclear power to do that, nuclear missiles to do that. And if somebody attacks Iran, we have to defend them, which means when Israel defends themselves and deals with Iran, we would be put in the place, if they sign this agreement, we would be put in the place, if we're held to it, to have to actually fight against, I mean, think about that, fight against Israel. I mean, that's a Dietrich Bonhoeffer reality to us, and this thing has to be stopped. But let's go back and realize this is not an accident. This has been an unfolding plan since day one. Let's go back and look at the Democratic National Convention where they talked specifically about Israel, Jerusalem, and watch them boo the idea of this. Take a look.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This summer, I was proud to serve this party as the Platform Drafting Committee Chair. As the Chair, I come before you today to discuss two important matters related to our party's national platform. As an ordained United Methodist minister, I am here to attest and affirm that our faith and belief in God is central to the American story and informs the values we've expressed in our party's platform. In addition, President Obama recognizes Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, and our party's platform should as well. Mr. Chairman, I have submitted my amendment in writing, and I believe it is being projected on the screen for the delegates to see. I move adoption of the amendment as submitted and shown to the delegates.
A motion has been made. Is there a second? Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, the matter requires a two-thirds vote in the affirmative. All those delegates in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those delegates opposed say no.
No.
In the opinion of the... Let me do that again. all of those delegates in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those delegates opposed say no. I guess.
You've got a rule, and then you've got to let them do what they're going to do.
I'll do that one more time. All those delegates in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those delegates opposed say no.
No.
In the opinion of the chair, 2/3 have voted in the affirmative. The motion is adopted. And the platform has been amended as shown on the screen. Thank you very much. Thank you. Now, Governor Strickland, thank you again for your service. Governor Strickland, thank you again for your service as chair of the platform drafting committee. Now, everyone, please.
Think about that. The people said, no, we don't want Jerusalem to be listed as the capital of Israel. They overwhelmingly said that. The lady comes up and tells him in his ear, you got to ask them the question and give them what they want. He just went ahead and pushed against the will of the people and said, we're just going to go ahead and write it in. It's happening today. This is what's happening today. As a matter of fact, you're looking right here. This is the image that was up behind them at the Democratic National Convention. And you know what that is? That is actually the Russian Navy. It's the Russian Navy who is into Syria right now, and they're talking about they're partnering with Assad or with President Assad in Syria, and they're defending off ISIS. And you know, right now as we speak, these soldiers are coming in. This has been the plan, it appears, from day one. It's unfolding before our eyes. But we ourselves can stand up and tell our Congress and our Senate and ask our president, don't support this deal against Israel. Don't support this deal against Israel. But the whole thing is this. Just like they did here, we cannot push against the will of the people. If the people just say, no big deal, let it pass, just like what happened right here, guess what? If the will of the people says, all we want is peace, even if it's against Israel, guess where America's going to go? These are very important days, and this deal has not been signed yet. Dear God, we want to just ask the Lord that he would just end this deal. Call your congressman, call your senator, and tell them we do not want this deal. Do not sign this deal. We stand with Israel. And we stand with America. We stand with God. And we're going to talk more about this, including China reportedly saying that they've set themselves to wage war against America and our economy. So many details of that, including a prophetic word about that. Welcome back. It's amazing what's taking place, is it not, John?
Very amazing. I mean, think about this agreement. We're coming to the point where they have to vote on it, and they haven't read, which is not new, but they haven't read the
entire agreement. This is a good idea. Let's read the thing. I mean, Senator Lankford. Thank God for Senator Lankford.
Yes.
And how the government works, it's been taken away from us. Civics has been taken away from us. You know, the Constitution has been taken away in our knowledge base and our education base. And that's your representative. When a senator stands up, think about it. There's only 100 people, just 100, that represent the entire United States.
Right.
That's a handful of people representing over 300 million folks. And when one of them stands up like that and says, we haven't even read it yet, car salesman.
That's called the clue.
Yeah. And this thing is being pushed through. But you look at it. Look at the Democratic National Convention. And this is not a party issue. That was stated. That's that image that you saw. As a matter of fact, put it up again. You can see this image. This is the Russian Navy. So as they were selecting the leader for America, right behind them there is that is the Russian. This is no conspiracy thing. They actually wrote an apology about it. You can see it on the VFN Torch. They didn't make a mistake. It was the Russians are walking into Syria right now. Remember when the president went over to, we thought he drew the line with Syria. If you cross this line, use chemical weapons, you know, then, you know, it's over.
Mm.
And so all the United Arab League, which is like 22 Muslim nations, right,
yes.
came
Africa.
Together and they said this. They said, we will pay for this war if you will deal with this enemy. And the president said, I'll tell you what, now that you all are organized and gathered, but he didn't say those words, I'll just hand this whole football off to Putin. And he gives the United Arab League over to Putin's leadership. And what's happening? He is leading. He's coming into Syria. He's standing with Assad. They have a military base reportedly
right
there.
Reports are they have troops on the ground.
Yeah. And what's happening? All of these refugees you see flooding all around the place. This has been a planned Alinsky strategy. When you heard, if you can go back, you can listen to Children of the Day, Organizers of the Day versus Organizers of the Night, and we have that available for you on the VFN Torch. Understand this, that this is
what we said was that they're using Luciferic tactics to organize the world because those are Alinsky tactics. The book Saul Alinsky wrote called Rules for Radicals is dedicated to Lucifer. It's because they say he was the first one to use these principles and he won his own kingdom.
Mm.
Yeah, he got kicked out of heaven and you know, it was not good. And a third of the angels went with him. And these are powerful tactics because if you can organize a third of the angels in the presence of God, you know it's easy to organize man in the presence
that's
of man.
Right.
And so we have to pay close attention to this. So this thing is a strategy that's unfolding, and we just have to wake up. You know, there's more, like Dr. King said, I believe there's more kind-hearted, right-hearted, you know, people in America that than there are these other folks. We just got to wake up, and we got to stand up to be able to do it. So you're looking at, we're picking our president. Behind the president that we're picking, you have Buddha Jerusalem.
Mm.
People said, we do not want Jerusalem. When you don't want Jerusalem, you don't want Jews.
Yeah, okay. And talk about
it's
that.
It's Jerusalem.
This
you
is
know?
A platform. Like, this is a platform that they're running on. So these are important things. Reportedly, it's always been as part of their platform, and it was removed. And now that
it's where the temple of God is. You know, they got that's where the temple of God was. It's where they got the Dome of the Rock. They got it's over exactly where you know Abraham offered up Isaac. Mm. I mean, this is that place, and. They booed the idea of accepting Jerusalem, but they went ahead and changed it anyway with the Supreme Court. They made a ruling, so you can no longer say I was born in Jerusalem, even if you're born in Jerusalem, because they basically said it doesn't exist anymore.
Wow.
And so then they said you can say you were born in Israel. This is like major, by the way. You know, it's one thing the church I think that we struggle with is understanding Israel and its relationship to us. And that the word of God comes from the Jew. They're the one that kept the word and brought it to us. Read Romans, you know, read the Bible. And so with this, you're looking at the Pope this week walking into the United Nations and submitting to the leadership of the United Nations, which is overwhelmingly, there's a voting block there of majority Muslim nations.
And communists.
And so, they're submitting saying, you know, reports are that accepting the Palestinian state. What does that mean? It means Jerusalem.
Mm.
Dividing up Jerusalem. It's like, it's just not going to happen. You know, not on my watch as Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says, and you see quite often. But this happened before. As a matter of fact, during the days of Hitler and the Nazi party, that the Pope came. As a matter of fact, take a look at this. This is actually the Pope of that day shaking hands with Hitler. They thought this was a good idea, you know, and this is... You know, granted, you know, things are unfolding behind the scenes and all that, but it's like anytime that you look if you claim to be a Christian and you're looking at your own schemes and your own ideas and your enticing words to do something, that's not God.
Mm.
God's not trying to scheme. He's God. He don't need a scheme. He just needs the truth spoken in humility and he'll back it up. So when you see people moving politically and manipulating, and Paul says, I renounced all that. So that when you do see God move in my life, you know it's God and it's not me. And whatever reason it was, look at them shaking. Look one more time. This is taking place as we speak. And I don't know if we have the picture of the Pope walking with a Palestinian president, but we actually have that as well. You know, and that's happening today. He went to Cuba. You know, I told you prophetically that the reason why Cuba was going to be opening up is because they're going to absorb Guantanamo Bay. And that's what's on he's going to the United Nations, submitting to the leadership of their leadership, saying that, you know, Palestinian state, that it can raise a flag up, supposedly. And that means, by the way, there is no such thing as a Palestinian state. It's people that Muslims rejected that said, no, you stay there and you keep on keeping an intifada going against Israel, which our vice president. Was our vice president or the secretary of state threatened
John Kerry? Yes,
John Kerry threatened them with a third intifada. And look at this right here. This is the now Pope. This is the now Pope walking with the Palestinian president. Does that look familiar?
Mm.
Guess what's happening this week? They're coming into the United Nations to say, let this man who's president of the Palestinian people, let his nation be a nation.
Yeah.
For them to be a nation means you got to gut Israel. And I wish we had undefensible borders. I mean, hopefully we can have that before this program's out because it's just undefensible. Yeah, I want you to see this. And I don't know how much time we have before the break, but I want you to see. You got to see this. We come back from the break. I want you to see this because if they give up any land, Israel cannot defend it. They're not going to give it up. They just can't do it. But the thing about it, understand we are pushing them. Our president said if we don't lead with global warming, nobody will do it. He knows if America leads, people follow. Guess who's leading this Iran nuke deal? It's America leading this Iran nuke deal. As a matter of fact, we're going to go to the break. We're going to come back. You got to see this, because if they go for that Palestinian state this week, raise the flag, split the land, Israel cannot be defended, which means they're not going to take this deal, which means they're going to have to respond and defend themselves. And he said if they have to stand alone, remember, they said they will stand alone. And guess what? America will be caught because of this agreement having to defend Iran against Israel. It's a Dietrich Bonhoeffer moment. Join us after the break. Well, welcome back. You know, you got to understand this deal that they're talking about right now. And I think the best thing, this was put out by the government of Israel to help us understand. It shows you the whole schematic, the map of Israel, the road system, how they defend themselves. And this is the 1967 borders that our president said openly that we have to go back to the 1967 borders. Those are undefensible borders. Jerusalem was not part of Israel at that point. And our president openly said this, it needed to go back to the 1967 borders. Chuck Pierce of Zion Ministry says the moment he said that America is going to go back to the 60s. And we were in the 60s. This is just like the 60s.
Race riots.
There's a couple things that hasn't happened yet. But based on reports that these things are probably going to happen, some things the Lord is showing us. We pray and it doesn't. But we're given over to our choices. So when you see this Palestinian deal going on that they're doing this week, and it's all set up. It's all set up. I mean, the Palestinian deal was done by the Pope. The Cuba deal was negotiated by the Pope. The president went to the Vatican before all this happened and said, I like this man. And they worked out this whole deal, and they're thinking this is the right way to go. Anytime you go against God, and this is what they said, of all the things when the church was first birthed, they talked about, why do nations plot and plan against you? Why do kings plot against you, God? And that's exactly what's happening today. It's because they don't know God. But if you know God, you need to stand up. And if you don't know God, you need to meet him today. Go to meetmyfather.org. We're going to go right now to look at, and they're going to show you, just kind of settle your mind and say, you know what, I'm going to watch this now, because this is what this means. If they assign this deal, that means Israel cannot defend themselves if they make a Palestinian state right there in the heart of Israel and raise this Palestinian flag, which would mean a 1967 borders. Watch this.
Every state has the right of self-defense and to secure borders to protect itself from hostile invasions and terror. Israel is a small state surrounded by Arab countries 650 times its size, some of which are large bases of global terror. Only 44 miles separate between the Jordan Valley and the Mediterranean Sea. After the Six-Day War in 1967, when Israel was attacked by four armies on three fronts, United Nations Security Council Resolution 242 stated that Israel was entitled to new defensible borders to replace the previous fragile lines from which it was attacked. What are Israel's defensible borders? What are its essential security needs? The Jordan Rift Valley, Israel's eastern frontier, forms a natural barrier between Israel and the countries of Jordan, Iraq, and Iran. The Jordan Valley rises from an area that is 1,200 feet below sea level to a hilly ridge of up to 3,000 feet, creating a steep 4,200-foot virtual wall opposite any force attacking from the east. The growing threat of global jihad activity near Israel's borders requires it to prevent infiltrations of terrorists and weapons. When Israel left the Philadelphia corridor in Gaza, it became a highway for the infiltration of terrorists and the flow of hundreds of tons of ammunition and weaponry from all over the Arab world, aimed at Israeli civilians. The Jordan Valley is the equivalent of Gaza's Philadelphia corridor in the West Bank. To defend itself, Israel must retain control over the Jordan Valley. This is Israel's mountain ridge, rising up to 3,000 feet. It dominates Israel's major coastal cities, where more than 70% of its population, 80% of its industry, and all of its airfields and seaports are located. Missiles launched from the Judean hills pose an immediate threat to Jerusalem, Israel's capital. Israel's only international airport, Ben-Gurion, would be in the range of even primitive rockets, while all planes taking off and landing would be threatened by shoulder-launched anti-aircraft missiles. More advanced weaponry would be able to hit virtually any point in Israel. If Israel were forced back to the 1949 armistice lines, the Green Line, the country's width would be reduced to a narrow 9-mile waistline that would be impossible to defend. That's why any future arrangement must include Israeli control over key areas of the mountain ridge and a demilitarized Palestinian state. Israel's narrow borders means a combat aircraft can cross the entire country in under 4 minutes. In less than 2 minutes, an enemy plane could penetrate the country's airspace via the Jordan Valley and reach Jerusalem. In order to thwart an aerial attack on Jerusalem, a hostile plane must be shot down at least 10 miles east of the capital to prevent it from crashing into major population centers. Therefore, Israel must be able to identify hostile planes before they cross the Jordan River line and intercept them shortly after. To defend itself, Israel must control the airspace over the West Bank. Israel's transportation arteries, and in particular the Trans-Israel Highway, enable travel and connection between Israel's regions. They also assure the mobility of the Israel Defense Forces in case of attack. Protection of these vital arteries is essential in order to ensure that 1. Civilians aren't victims of terrorist gunfire. 2. Regions of the country cannot easily be cut off. 3. The mobility of Israel's defense forces is not hindered in the case of invasion. To defend itself, Israel must control its main arteries of transportation. There is enormous uncertainty about future trends in the Middle East. Iran is determined to become the supreme power as the U.S. withdraws from Iraq. No one can guarantee the future of many of the current regimes in the region. Today, more than ever, it is crucial to ensure defensible borders for Israel.
So this is what they're talking about. It's more than just words that some politicians cranking out. They're talking about signing a deal that puts this small Israel that is probably about 70 miles wide at its widest point now, cutting it down to 1967 borders. That's what happens when a Palestinian state comes in. But we were listening to the president give a speech in Israel, and you could hear us on the program. We're so excited. We're listening to it live.
Right.
And, you hear a politician speak, every time you hear one speak, like, oh, this is so good. This is so great. And then
hit
you watch what
the
they
nice
do.
Hot buttons, yeah.
You watch what they're doing, like, oh, my, did I just say that was good?
Yeah.
And so we're listening to a speech, and we're just pumped up. We're going, he's in Israel speaking to college students in Israel, saw all this great stuff. Mm-hmm. But then he starts disrespecting, telling them, you need to forget about your elders, and, you're the new generation. Mm-hmm. You're going to take this thing. And he said, but all of this needs to be accomplished at the United Nations. So he talked about all these things, which we all could work out. But he said, but let's take it to the United Nations. Where have you seen Hillary Clinton standing? Mm. At the United Nations when she's making these announcements. Where have you seen all this going to the United Nations? Where is the Pope going this week to the United Nations? It's 70th year anniversary, right?
Wow.
Wonder why. Well, let me tell you why. Because it has what's called an unstoppable voting bloc of Muslim nations who openly hate Israel, want to push Israel into the sea. It says specifically in the Quran, it talks about to kill the Jew, to do away with the Jew. Mm. If you find a Jew, I mean, it talks. As a matter of fact, we have available for you, we'll make available for you, Islam 101. It's on VFNTV.com. It's a simple, American view of things. You can go there and go, okay, I see. It's the antithesis of the Bible. We're waiting for our Savior from the clouds. They're waiting for their iman to come from that hole in the ground in Mecca. I mean, it's just the opposite. We're saying, don't get the mark. They're saying, yeah, he's going to put a mark on you, and this is what makes you right. It's like, well, that's freaky.
Very.
But it's really freaky when people believe it. But listen, the reason why the Pope is going to the UN, the president's going to the UN, you heard them say that we don't want a Jerusalem as the capital of the city. They pushed it any capital of Israel, and they pushed it anyway. And now you can't even have it on your driver's license. And they say, let's go work it out at the UN. Let's go work it out at the United Nations. By the way, this is the very place that our president said, and you see it on every intro we have, that the future, he says that, you know, that the future does not belong to those who slander the prophet of Islam. By the way, saying Jesus is the son of God is considered a slanderous remark. Being a Christian, as you're seeing them put the Nazarene mark on Christians' houses and they're going in and killing them and beheading them, our brothers and sisters, that would be a Quranian correct movement if they're going literally by the Quran. And so I just heard Pat Robinson say just this week, you know, from CBN saying that ISIS is going by the letter of the Quran. They're going very specifically to it. And it's crazy. But now look, they're carrying this deal right now as we speak. The Pope's going to submit to the leadership of the UN saying, you know, I worked out this deal, I guess, with the Palestinian people, which you saw him holding hands just like they held hands with the Hitler. You see them coming from Cuba. But remember, the only thing that hasn't been really done yet are these two things, Israel and the Guantanamo Bay. And so there's one thing about this current president. He said everything he's going to do. I don't think he's had anything in secret. He just laid it out there, and everybody's just swallowed it, hook, line, and sinker, you know, including Planned Parenthood. We're watching them. I mean, everything is in our eyes. It's not him. It's us. What are we going to do about this reality that's being revealed to us right before, you know, difficult times are going to begin to come? They're coming as we speak now. But take a look. Think about this now. They're going to take this whole thing to United Nations this week, right now, today, this week.
Yeah.
And there is a majority of people, and they vote on things. So if you vote 80, if you have 10 voters, and you have 8 voters that are always on your side, you know, all you could do is carry it there, and then they're going to overwhelmingly, you know, vote for you. It's called an unstoppable voting block. And that's exactly what the UN has with Muslim nations. Take a look at this.
No matter how you feel about the United Nations, it's the one place on planet Earth where nations get together and attempt to speak with one voice. That's why their resolutions can make a big difference. So when people all around the world see that approximately 40% of the UN Human Rights Council resolutions were against just one country, most of us would assume that country must be a really bad place. Perhaps ruled by, oh, say, a genocidal dictator who kills his own people, or maybe a tyrant continually threatening to annihilate another country. But actually, the country that has been condemned more times than every repressive country on Earth combined is a democracy. The only viable democracy in the Middle East, Israel. And with these repeated resolutions against Israel, it's easy to see why so many in the international community perceive Israel as a major cause of world problems. But are all these resolutions really justified? Because whether or not you agree with how Israel is handling its many challenges, when you do a basic comparison, like the number of deaths Israel is responsible for with the number of condemnations they've received, and then make that same comparison with other countries, it paints a surprising picture of a possible double standard. What could explain the enormous imbalance? Quick history lesson. In 1975, Cuba needed to gather support in order to take down the biggest democratic superpower dominating the global schoolyard, the United States. Seeing how the UN was mostly controlled by the democratic superpowers, Cuba, along with other communist nations, finally found a way to even the playing field, because it just so happened that, at the same time, a number of Muslim countries were looking for new, creative ways to gang up on Israel. So the communists realized that by joining the Muslims' anti-Israel coalition, they could create an unstoppable voting bloc inside the UN. Because with every resolution they passed against Israel, they simultaneously discredited Israel's ally, the United States. So in 1975, the newfound communist Muslim voting bloc spearheaded the passing of a UN resolution that officially stated, "Zionism is a form of racism." Yes, Zionism. The movement trying to find ways to protect Jews from racism was redefined as racism, which is kind of like saying the civil rights movement is racism and Martin Luther King is a racist. This is why resolution after resolution after resolution against Israel from 1975 until this day easily passes through the UN.
When you're for Israel, when you're for Jews, they're saying that that is racism. Think about that. When you're for Jews, the UN defined that as racism.
Wow.
Listen, don't buy into this narrative. They're carrying this decision about should the Palestinian So you're looking at it. Think about it. It all began, this unstoppable voting bloc began in Cuba. They wanted somebody to be able to help them out. This little small, it's 90 miles away from the border of America. 90 miles away from the borders of America. Hmm. It's where Kennedy faced the Bay of Pigs and the possible nuclear situation that was going on. They partnered with the Muslim Brotherhood, Muslims. They partnered with
the communists.
They partnered with the Muslims to be able to have this unstoppable voting bloc. And guess what? The Pope went there to negotiate the deal to be able to push this thing overboard. Listen, these are end time things. These are like unfolding of major things. I want to encourage you. You know, we're going to talk more about this when we get back from the break. But 90 Minutes in Heaven is a new movie coming out. And as a Christian, you understand the moment this life ends, you're presently, you're spiritually, you're present with God. Mm. As a matter of fact, this guy wrote a book, 90 Minutes in Heaven. His name is Piper. I think, you know,
Don
Piper. And it's amazing story about what heaven is really like. You know, I really think the trailer is kind of depressing. That's not how it is. It's a real slow Southern speak. I think he overdid the Southern drawl. We don't speak like a Southern. And so, but understand, it's a very exciting story. You've got to go there because it'll so encourage you when you hear about, he even talks about the sound of heaven was so awesome when he was there. He misses the sound above all things. So good things are in store for us. We just want to stand with Israel. We want to bring as many people with us to heaven as we can. As a matter of fact, take a look at this, 90 Minutes in Heaven. Go see it in your local theaters.
I was the father of three children, a husband of a wonderful wife, a man with a great future. On January 18th, 1989, I died. When I woke up, I was in heaven.
The man in the red Ford is deceased. I'd like to pray for him.
He's alive! You got it, Paul?
From what we've heard, Don's car was wrecked by an 18-wheeler.
Your husband is very badly injured. We are doing everything we can to save him.
I'm so scared. God, please help us.
It's going to be tough, but Don needs you now.
I fought all I can. I'm ready to die.
You got all these people who care so much for you, and you have no idea how much they love you.
We're going to pray all night for you. We're taking over from here.
I have denied them the blessing of caring. You were right. Amidst all the suffering, I've learned that heaven is real. I'm here.
Man, I tell you what, you gotta go see that movie. I read the book, you know, 90 Minutes in Heaven, and, you know, the sound of heaven. Listen, God's got good plans in store for those that are His. This moment that we have right now in this time is to be His witness, to go tell people about Him, to go into all the world and tell people about the goodness of God and His plan to bring them into the family, which is His Son dying for us, paying the price for our sin so that they can actually be forgiven like you are if you're a Christian, so that you can enter into the kingdom of God. And that's where we're going to be. We're not going to be all this crazy stuff going on that's happening in, you know, the darkness of, you know, men and things that are happening. But that's why we're here. So we need to stand up. And think about this. Eternity means this. You know, just obviously it's beyond my ability to calculate. But forever, you can either be living with regret, going, I did nothing. I watched sports. I watched TV. I earned money for myself, spent it on myself, and did nothing for anyone, not for God. You know, which kind of challenges the doctrine, but we won't go there. Or you can say, I gave every last breath, like Dietrich Bonhoeffer. They said that he was the happiest, biggest smile on anybody's face that was put to death by Nazi Germany right before they gave up, because he stood up for God. He stood up for God. He knew that he'd done everything that he can do. And so here we are at this one moment in time. So it's the gospel's good news. We should not be fearing death. And it's interesting, too, when you watch, because we have the opportunity, as you've seen in VFN TV, the news reports, when you watch these Christians who are getting down on their knees, hands tied behind their back, while people in the name of their God, their false God, cuts their heads off because they're Christian, and you don't see them pleading, crying out, help me. You see them just quietly committed in their heart to Jesus Christ, committed in their heart. And you know what? So many people are saying, well, they're a different doctrine than me. They have a different denomination than me. And it's like, who is Jesus? The thing is, this is what Jesus said. He didn't say, you know, are you a Baptist? Are you a Pentecostal? Are you a Catholic? He said, who do they say that I am? Don't get caught up in all of men's. I mean, think about an egg crate. You know, it holds 12 eggs, egg carton, right? You have 12 eggs in it. And imagine if each of those holes, it was like a hole in the bottom of all those things. So if you put an egg in this little slot, it would just fall through. That's kind of like how this whole thing is. Imagine each of those 12 compartments are different men's denominations and ideas and whatever. But when you drop through it, it goes into a bin that has just two options. And it just falls either in this one or that one because it's like a big thing, two big funnels underneath it. And one funnel says, I know who Jesus is and I made him the Lord of my life. And the other one is, I didn't make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. It doesn't matter what you, it just boils down to who is Jesus to you. He's the Son of God. He is the Lamb of God. He's the only one worthy of all the praise, all the honor, all the glory. He's the one that sits encircled at the right hand of the Father, the creator of the universe, where angels are crying, holy, holy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. You know, who is the only one worthy to unloose the seals of the scroll, which is really the title deed to earth. Listen, we are living in an amazing day that you can spend eternity going, you know what? I stood up. Maybe you can just partner with VFNTV. Maybe just go to VFNTV.com and partner. Maybe you could be, you put your business out there and say, you know, I want to stand up. I don't care what people are saying. I want to stand up before the eyes of God because the eyes of God are upon me. These things are happening in our face. People are just blindly walking into it, and those who are darkly held captive doing the adversary's will are running to this plan. They're running to do Israel in. They're running to undo Jerusalem. They're running to divide the land. I mean, the Pope, if you listen to anything like Exo Vaticana and the things that we had in our programs earlier on, in the Malachi prophecy over 130 years ago talked about this would be the last Pope. Mm-hmm. And that particular prophecy named every single Pope up to this point. This may be the last Pope that the Catholic Church ever sees based on that particular Malachi That's right. prophecy, which was in the archives of the Catholics in the Vatican.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, the signs are all around us. The signs are around us, and the Lord is coming. The Lord is, and one day, all of a sudden, the Father's going to say, you know what? The full number of the Gentiles are in, which are people that are not Jews. He's just going to, whatever he's in his own heart, what he does. And at that point, the Jews are going to be, the veil's going to be lifted. The Jews are going to be saved, and it's going to be over.
Wow.
Where would you be? Where would you be? If this was your last day, where would you be? Have you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? Now's your moment. Just pray with me right now. Dear Jesus, I know that you are the Son of God. You're the only way to God. And I accept you 100% as my Lord and my Savior. I'm a sinner. I've done things wrong, everything wrong. I need you to forgive me, to cleanse me, and I want to be your disciple. I give my life fully to you. And I accept you as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name. This is so exciting. Think about it. I want you to go to meetmyfather.org and tell us about your story. Let us know what happened. Welcome to the family of God. You need to become his disciple, learn his ways, and follow them quickly because you're going to be really challenged. Great deception is coming. It's here. But these are great days for the church. Welcome to the family. And we just want to pray with this one prayer before we close. Dear God, end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening, and end this deal with Iran, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.